Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Point of View with me, Govan Whittle, standing in for Pomelo. Keep those calls coming. Send me through your tweets. Send us WhatsApp voice notes. The WhatsApp line is 063-688-0959. We still have one more guest to speak about the budget, and this time we're moving from defense to education. This one is even worse than what's going on in defense, and I'm hoping to hear your views on it here on Point of View. Please send in your comments. I know that the defense situation seems dire, but Section 27 says our education sector is in an austerity chokehold. More than 23,000 posts have been cut in the sector. And the budget analysts at Section 27 say that this is a dangerous position to be in. Matshidiso Linkwasa is from Section 27. She's the budget analyst. Matshidiso, welcome to the show.
Good evening. Thank you very much for having me.
It's a pleasure to speak to you. This is such an important issue. There's probably nothing more important than education in our country. But tell me, what level of austerity is the education sector facing?
Yes, you're absolutely right about the importance of reflecting on the budget and the power that it has in addressing some of the key concerns that we have with education in our country. So unfortunately, for South Africa's public education system, we've been facing shortages of teachers, even though it's a paradox because there's so many unemployed teachers that are ready to serve and be absorbed into the public education system and shape the futures of young people. We have also been seeing budget cuts that have impacted access towards learning materials, towards stationery, and have reduced the available resources towards facilitating the school nutrition program. So among those are some of the areas that have been, the everyday learning in South Africa, particularly those in underserved communities, have been experiencing. And it has been unfortunate because at the heart of these problems, it is the way that we allocate money towards our education system.
Absolutely. We had Sizwe Ngasana on air yesterday from the Sifiso Learning Group explaining how they help public schools, right? And a lot of that work is being done for free. What you're describing is a more systemic problem. What could you see in tomorrow's budget allocation that could address some of those immediate points?
Sure. I think when it comes to education funding, there's no real way out of overcoming, going beyond the austerity budgeting that we've been so used to, the budgeting of budget cuts and saying that we need to reduce expenditure in education, but rather prioritize education. I think there have been promises, for example, the Basic Education Laws Act, so the BELA that has been signed, as well as commitments to universalize healthcare, ECD access, so to bring in the ECD centers in our country. We would like to see that being more than just rhetoric, but there should be a financial commitment to making these a reality. We are also looking for a budget that actually invests in increasing the number of teachers in schools so that we can overcome overcrowding that is so prevalent, especially in schools that are underserved and schools that are in rural or urban districts as well. And we're also just looking forward to a budget that better equips our education system to eradicate pit latrines and schools and classrooms that are built of inappropriate materials and really replace them with dignified learning spaces for all learners in this country.
You know, you're not asking for unreasonable things, but didn't we just have a year of posts being slashed dramatically?
That's exactly it. So there has been a concerted effort to reduce how much money that we spend or the government spends in, on public sector employees. But I think what people have overlooked is that what we spend on public sector employees is frontline workers. So it's doctors, nurses and in the education space, it's teachers. And so when you reduce the amount of money that's allocated towards that, you reduce the number of teachers, you reduce the quality of teaching, because it then means that there will be overcrowding and one teacher has to service. I mean, we have had reports of one teacher serving up to 80 learners in classrooms. Sure. You know, that is just catastrophic. And when you compound it with issues of infrastructure, poor infrastructure, classrooms that are just made of inappropriate materials in 2025, of all times, like we haven't overcome those issues, we really need to course correct. And yes, it has been devastating, the budget, the teacher cuts last year, especially in the Western Cape notably, but this budget is an opportunity to redirect and to start moving away from those kind of, you know, trying to balance the books, but more towards bringing the everyday person, bringing the learners and people who use the public education system at the heart of our budget.
Yeah, look, my sister's a teacher, right? And she teaches at a school in Cape Town where there are a lot of learners in her class. And I know that she's overburdened, right? But it seems like, based on her experience and the other teachers that I know, that there isn't a lot of hope that they'll actually get relief. And Section 27 is on the forefront of trying to interact with, let's say, government bodies making these calls for better funding. But how much hope are you able to get translated into actual action? Like, are you listened to? Are you finding that people are listening to your organizations and actually allocating the money that's necessary based on the experience on the ground?
Yeah, so at the beginning of our advocacy around budget, I will be honest that it was quite difficult for the message to resonate with the decision makers, but there has been a lot of change this year when it comes to the budget. I think we've seen the resistance by people in the country towards that increase, for instance, have made people start taking more ownership of the budget and realizing that it is our money, like taxes, we should have a say in where our tax money goes, and we should get value for our money and value for our investments. And I think that we have a responsibility as people in this country to actually just sustain that momentum, to ensure that even with this budget 3.0 that's tabled tomorrow, we don't lose hope and we don't lose heart, but rather we continue to have the courage to hold government accountable. And through that, that's how we make systematic change. If we hadn't been doing the work behind the scenes of holding governments accountable and pushing them, I really don't think that we'd have the response to a VAT increase and the scrapping of a VAT increase in the way that we have. But to me, the view is that this is just the beginning. We can actually shape a budget that actually works for our people and that converts the promises that are made to people like your sister, who's a teacher, for example, but we can convert it into actual action. And then hopefully next year, you'll see that she can talk about that there has been an increase in the number of teachers and there has been upskilling in teachers so that there can be better quality education. So I'm cautiously optimistic and hopeful that governments will take all the everything that's happened, all the drama of the budget this year, and convert it into opportunities to make better informed decisions.
Yeah, look, all the best to you, Matsidiso. Like, what I can say is, like, I wish you all the support. And I've only been on here, my second night now on Point of View. But I think one thing that you may have noticed about me is that I really, really enjoy taking ownership of this country. And I think that's exactly what you're doing, Matsidiso. And I wish you all the best at Section 27. I have no doubt that with increased advocacy will come more response. And responsiveness is usually only the result of pressure. So keep putting on that pressure. I'm certainly behind you. I know that a lot of teachers in this country are behind you. And I wish you all the best. Thanks for coming on.
I appreciate this. We'll definitely use this as motivation. Thank you for your kind words.
Thank you. Matsidiso Lingwasa is the budget analyst at Section 27. What do you think of that? Do you think that the Inokorongwana is going to give more money to hire more teachers? Can you believe it, eh? They slashed 23,000 posts. It's ridiculous, to be honest with you. I don't think it's acceptable at all. You know, there's so many things that need money in our country, but I think that education should be on top of that list. We can never invest too little in the education of our children. in their safety, but also their proper dynamic education. And as we heard from Sizwe Ngxasana yesterday, there are better ways to do things. And he seems to believe the education department is moving in the right way. Minister of Finance, please give them more money. That's what we need from you right now. The time is now 35 minutes past 9 almost, and in a moment we'll be going to the book feature. I'm really excited to share with you what my favorite books are. I'm interested in what our guest Griffin Shea for the book feature will be sharing with us. I might talk about my own books a little bit too much, but hey, that's how I am. It's The Point of View with me, Govan Whittle, standing in for Pomelo. Keep those calls coming. Send me through your tweets. Send us WhatsApp voice notes. The WhatsApp line is 063-688-0959. And in a moment, it's the book feature.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.